taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me today. It's going to be an interesting episode. I was doing an interview earlier today, and I was researching some articles that were part of the preparation, and I've kind of come to the conclusion that government is broken. Now, that may not be a surprise to many of you, but it may be what I find, how I find the government is broken, that may be a surprise. See, it's the American people have become so universally ignorant of our Constitution and how our constitutional republic is designed, how it actually functions, to the point where even those we elect into office either have no clue or just don't care what the Constitution says, what their roles and powers in, as representatives in our government are, and just, you know, use whatever mechanisms they want in order to get the ends that they desire. The ends justify the means. We don't care if they're legal or not. We don't care if they're constitutional or not. We just think we know better, and we are going to use our power to do that. The first article that came across was one talking about the infamous squad, you know, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, and a bunch of other Democrats that have called on the U.S. Treasury to stop granting tax exemptions to American charitable organizations active in the West Bank and Eastern Jerusalem. Now, this is part of this ridiculous, you know, Israel is evil, the Palestinians are angels, and, you know, anybody that says any different just needs to be canceled. But this is the part that gets me. Ms. Tlaib and Ms. Ocasio-Cortez are U.S. representatives. Their job is to pass bills, to create law. It's the legislative power granted to Congress is to make law, including the laws that control the tax-exempt status for charitable organizations. That means that if the squad, Ms. Tlaib and Ocasio-Cortez, really thought that this should be not be government, you know, U.S. foreign policy to grant tax-deductible donations to organizations that support our ally in Israel, well, then submit a bill. It's not your job to try to, I don't know, intimidate, embarrass the executive branch. If you did not pass a law that says these organizations cannot receive tax-exempt funds, then it would be illegal for the U.S. Treasury to stop granting tax-exempt status to them. You are begging the executive branch to deny, to break the law, to deny the will of the people as expressed in Congress because you couldn't get your bill through, or at least you don't think you can get your bill through. This whole idea shows not only that the American government is broken, but that most of the American people either don't realize that it's broken or are just so hopelessly lost that they don't see what this truly is. This is a political stunt meant to meant for these people to apply pressure to get something they cannot pass through the legislature. We don't care about the will of the people. We don't care about the legislative process. They don't care about their jobs as representatives. All they want is their ends. And if we have to break the law or coerce someone to break the law to do it, that's fine by them. So let me ask you, Those who are represented by Ms. Tlaib and Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, residents of Michigan and New York and of the other districts, are you proud of their work? Are you proud of them attempting to conspire to commit crime and tax fraud? Because that's what this is. Now, they may not like it, but if they think this is wrong, their job is to submit a bill, convince the other representatives that is within the power of the Constitution to do that, and then pass it through Congress. Once it's the law, go ahead. But you see, they don't care about the law. They care about ruling. They care about power and getting their way. And the fact that not only do the American people support this, the American people in these districts voted for these people. That's right. If you live in these districts, this is done in your name. You are suborning tax fraud. You're in your name. These people are trying to pressure the U.S. Treasury to break the law, to deny organizations their right to equal protection under the law because you don't like how they run their charities. Well, I'd like to tell Ms. Tlaib and Ms. Ocasio-Cortez to go stuff it. I'm tired. I am past the niceties of pretending that this is anything but a coup, an attempt to subvert the Constitution to get a political ends, and I'm not gonna act like this is, you know, just business as usual. This is a coup. These are members of Congress trying to supplant the Constitution as the supreme law of the land and make their will the supreme law of the land. Now, again, whether you support the Jerusalem or Israel or the Palestinians doesn't matter. The Constitution says Congress makes the laws, the executive branch executes the laws. And since the law does not deny tax-exempt status to charitable organizations simply because their charities may support a groups in locations that certain political figures don't like, doesn't change the fact that this is suborning tax fraud. This is extortion? What are they going to do? If they really thought this was a legal issue, they would pass a law to make this change. They know they can't get it through, so they're trying to bully the U.S. Treasury to do their dirty work for them. I find this disgusting, I find this reprehensible, and everybody in their districts who voted for them should be ashamed of themselves, because this is their name. These people represent you, and these people are committing a criminal act. They're trying to intimidate. They're trying to, I don't know if there's any extortion involved here. I mean, you have to think about it. The U.S. Treasury is funded by appropriations made by Congress. These are the very same representatives that will be voting on the budgets of the U.S. Treasury or the Internal Revenue Service. So there's got to be some at least veiled consideration that you know, they may not get all their funding if they don't do what they want. This is just more proof that the federal government has become a mafia, a crime family. It's not acting as a government anymore. It ignores its charter. It ignores its commission. It ignores the people who created it. And you have people in government that are simply out there to rule like kings and queens. And these are just some of the most recent examples. Take, for example, this one. The Democrats in the House are at it again. They want to federalize elections. Now, there is only one truly national or federal election. That's when the presidential electors elect a president. Every other election is a state election or a district election. Yes, it's for an office in the federal government, but again, House districts represent the people of the state, and therefore the elections are held at the district level under state law. Same for the senators. They represent the state, but again, that's handled by state law. But you see, tyrants in government don't like that people can block their agenda, so they want to impose their ideas of how elections should be run on the states. And what I find most interesting is most of what's being pushed seems to be methods of making elections less secure, making elections easier to cheat, which makes me wonder, why is it always the Democratic Party that seems more interested in making elections easier to cheat? I'm not saying Republicans aren't culpable in some of these acts as well, but lately it seems to be the Democrats that are trying to make it easy to cheat. Now, the John L. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act of 2021, another example of titles being directly the opposite of what the bill actually does, this would expand mail-in voting, which, again, if you're mailing in your vote, you lose the chain of custody from the time you cast that vote to the time it is counted. It is not in the hands of either you or a sworn election official, right? So that's dangerous. What else? They've got, ballot harvesting. Oh, yeah, let's just have strangers pick up your votes. That's even worse than mail-in voting. Federal tax dollars for congressional campaigns. Sure, let's just federalize everything. Let's make the states simple vassals of Washington, D.C. And best of all, it bans voter ID requirements. Why? Why is this idea of actually before you vote, proving you are who you say you are, so anathema to the Democrats? Could it be that it's one of the easiest ways to help mitigate issues of voter fraud? I don't know. But what I see here are the Democratic Party trying to federalize and destroy the state elections. Now, the Constitution does grant Congress the authority to modify the rules in House and Senate elections, but how far does this go? I don't know. Are they talking about all elections? Because effectively, you know, how many states do you know are going to have two separate elections with two separate rules, one for the House of Representatives, the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, another for everything else? I don't know many who do, but again, you have a group of people in Washington, D.C. that are trying to take over the election process and make it easier to cheat. And since it goes beyond, at least my initial reading, simply the voting for U.S. House and Senate, it's unconstitutional. It's another power grab by Congress. Where have we seen that before? And really, at this point, should any of us be surprised? Then we have President Biden attacking parents in my adopted home state of Tennessee. See, he didn't like the fact that they protested mask mandates. He also threatened governors who opposed mask mandates. Now, a court from his transcript of his press briefing, he said, "We need to make sure children are wearing masks in school." No, we don't. The evidence is in. Masks are, their effectiveness is dubious at best. They are potentially dangerous and harmful, especially to small children, not just socially, but medically. And, you know, I'm sorry, for a disease that they have like a 0.1% chance of dying from, it is ridiculous for the president of the United States to insert himself between a parent and a child for a disease that has so little impact on young children is atrocious. It's abominable. It's more proof that our government is broken. It no longer understands the boundaries established for it within the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution is the United States given the authority to make medical decisions for parents. It's not. To make medical decisions for anyone. So this needs to be ignored. I'm sorry. I'm with Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison. An act repugnant to the Constitution is void. This is void. President Biden is a blowhard. And any school district in Tennessee that is getting pushback, that's getting especially federal pushback, contact me. I will help you draft letters and other material to stand up for the rights of your parents, the parents in your district. This is disgusting. To use our children as guinea pigs, to turn them into these little mechanisms, and to deny them the ability to play without the interference of these masks, to socialize, to learn the nuances of human communication through understanding facial expressions. This is torture. This is child abuse. But it seems like we're accepting it because we've been scared to death about a virus that most of us stand very little chance of actually dying from. Okay, you may get sick. Very few may get really sick and need hospitalization. Even fewer would actually die from it, especially now that we have more data and science to back up the fact that COVID is not the deadly disease we were once told it was. But the very idea that the President of the United States thinks he has the moral authority to attack parents who disagree with his totalitarian mask mandates, to threaten governors. I'm sorry, Mr. President, the governors don't work for you. You work for them. Look at the Constitution, Article 2. The role of the president is to execute the laws and to basically act as a point person for the states. The states determine your job, Mr. President, not the other way around. And as far as I am concerned, you can take your threats and you can take your mask mandate bullying tactics and you can stick them. I don't care. And again, in Tennessee, because I live in Tennessee, if you're a school district that's getting pressured for mask mandates from a tyrannical federal government agency, you let me know. I will come in and I'll help wherever I can. And as far as the governors, again, if you need help standing up to these tyrants, I'll be more than happy to give you my advice free of charge. I'm not looking to make a buck on this. No, I'm not a lawyer, but I've done things most lawyers haven't done. I've actually studied the Constitution of the United States. I can make these points. See, it's time for the American people to stop genuflecting before government and recognize that government is there to serve the people, not the other way around. Now, here's another one. The Surgeon General, another example of a person, elevated to their imbecility or elevated to their incompetence, Vivek Murthy, said, Americans don't have the right to irresponsibly spread misinformation. Well, I want to let you know, Mr. Murthy, the First Amendment says otherwise. The First Amendment says I have freedom of speech and I have freedom of the press, and you are prohibited from determining what is and is not misinformation, sir. You're committing a crime. You are attempting to deprive the American people of their freedom of speech and freedom of the press because you don't like what they're saying, sir. And what you refer to as misinformation, sir, is supported by science and fact. So as far as I'm concerned, sir, you've proven yourself not only to be disqualified for office, but disqualified to hold any position of trust within the United States. This is incredible. Why would anybody listen to this buffoon? The idea that the government gets to tell you what you can and cannot say. This goes back to the books 1984 and Brave New World. We specifically have the First Amendment to prevent government from telling you what you can say and what you can print. And the very idea that someone could rise to the level of Surgeon General and not understand that most basic fact of American government is not only disturbing, it should be terrifying. Because if he believes he has the authority to determine what is and is not misinformation, then he is just one step away from a despotic dictator. I look at the CDC data. The CDC data tells me that COVID is not a deadly disease, not terribly. There are a couple of demographics that have more risk than others. But basically, if you're under 80 years old and in reasonably decent health, COVID just isn't that dangerous. Now, does that mean we shouldn't take some personal precautions? No, you should take precautions based on your medical situation. You should talk to your doctor, a reasonable doctor that will actually go to the CDC data and make some intelligent decisions. But you see, that's not what they want to do. See, Senators Klobuchar and Lugin, they have put forth the Health Misinformation Act. The very concept that the government is going to determine what is and isn't misinformation should be immediate cause for dismissal. Now, what they want to do is amend Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, but the very idea is Health Misinformation Act. Well, misinformation for whom? Again, you don't know the overall information or the overall health of an individual. We have a First Amendment. But the First Amendment, the Constitution, is not going to jump out of the glass and start dope slapping these people. The American people need to recognize that these petty tyrants are subverting the Constitution. They are trying to overthrow our form of government and become an oligarchy that dictates to you how you live your life. And unless the American people stand up, take a stand, say no, the Constitution says you can't do this. No, we will not stand for it. I don't care what laws you pass. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The Constitution is superior to all of that. You are not allowed to do that. And the fact that, I'm curious, will Ms. Klobuchar and Mr. Lujan be reelected? Are the citizens of Minnesota and New Mexico okay with petty tyrants telling you how to live your life? Telling you what you're allowed to say? What you're allowed to share? What happens when this is not simply a question of well, they've already proven they're not interested in actual medical information. Because the medical information is in. As I said, you know, the death rate for COVID is 0.16%, something like that. At least with the last numbers that I saw, the contagion rate amongst children is minuscule. Masks don't work that well, at least most of the masks that we're buying. KN95s probably help, but how many people are wearing those? No, you know what this is? This is an attempt to shut down, to silence opposition. They don't want people telling, they don't want their lies exposed. They don't want their tyranny exposed. They want to shut people up that disagree with them. That's the role of the petty tyrant. The question is, American people, what are you going to do about it? Are you just going to stand back and let them turn you into a slave? A subject? Or are you going to stand up and say, no, no more. This is not allowed. We did not give you this authority. You're not allowed to do this. We won't allow this. We won't follow this. And in fact, the very idea that you're proposing this proves that you are not qualified to hold any position of trust within the United States. And the very idea that the people in these states are voting themselves into tyranny and serfdom is disturbing. And the only solution is when the American people will start reading and studying the Constitution, start teaching the rising generation to be free, when they'll start recognizing when their rights are violated and preparing themselves to defend and assert them. And if we don't do it soon, our chance of doing it will be gone. And we won't. It won't be a question of, well, you know, it'll be inconvenient. We won't have a choice of voting for people that believe in truth, justice, in the American way, because communication won't be free anymore. People who, like me, who talk about the Constitution, will be marked as promoting disinformation and removed from the public airwaves. Then we will get the truth. Or just a different point of view. Let's say that I am wrong. Even when I go back and quote the Constitution, let's say that I'm not, you know, that I am wrong. Does that mean I need to be silenced? Shouldn't the proper response to bad information be more good information? But you see, the American people have lost the basic concepts of freedom and liberty. I'm sorry, we have. We think we still believe in it, but we don't. We want to shut up people we disagree with. We don't want to have the discussion. We don't want to have the debate. We don't want to engage in the dialogue. We simply want to make our statement and tell everyone else to shut up. And as more and more Americans fall into this concept of my way or the highway, agree with me or be silenced, we watch freedom of speech and freedom of the press die, not just from government involvement, but from society's involvement. Not just from big tech, but from everyone. If we cannot have an honest and open and free discussion, freedom disappears. As Benjamin Franklin, writing as Silence Duguid, noted, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know. Freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of the press are critical to the idea of liberty. And we're watching the American people let it get flushed down the toilet. What happens when your speech is now limited to what government says? Well, as George Washington said, if the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. You want to know what your future holds when government dictates what is and isn't misinformation? Sheep being dragged away to slaughter. That's the future of America if we continue down this road. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you to check out healthycell.com/outloud. You know, they've reinvented vitamins, no longer a handful of pills, a simple travel-ready gel pack, easy to take, easy to use, designed for maximum absorption and to feed your body with the vitamins it needs at the cellular level. They have several different formulas, the REM Sleep, the Immune Super Boost, or what I've been trying lately is the Focus and Recall. You know, you get to the end of the day and you're a little fuzzy-headed and you're slow and you reach for that energy shot or that energy drink, which is basically caffeine and sugar. You know, it wires you up, it gets your blood pressure up, it's not good, not nearly that good for you. But try the Focus and Recall. Help sharpen your mind so you can finish off the day strong without all the side effects of all the caffeine and sugar and energy drinks and shots. And again, head to healthycell.com/outloud to get 20% off your very first order.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is McCullough Report. Are you tired of your tired vitamins? Consider Healthy Cell. These are pill-free vitamins that are in convenient gel packs. I like the Focus and Recall supplement. I use this a lot. You know, your brain uses a lot of energy, and it depends on a variety of micronutrients and vitamins. Boost your short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. So go to healthycell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, all capital letters, OUTLOUD, for a 20% off your first order of any Healthy Cell product. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud is expanding its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today we're talking about the fact that the government is broken, and because the American people allow a broken government to continue without replacing those who are perverting the Constitution, we are quickly devolving into the worst form of despotic tyranny. Now, I talked a little bit about what was going on in the federal government, but it's not reserved to the federals. No, we have New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, his own little emperor, who not only is requiring proof of vaccination to attend, to go to restaurants, gyms, museums, and other venues now, he wants you to show a photo ID as well. Now, I find this absolutely amazing when you see the same people who don't want photo IDs for voting require a photo ID to go to a restaurant. Now, he says it's easy. All you have to do is show proof of vaccination. It could be a CDC paper card. It could be the Excelsior Pass or the New York City COVID Safe app, whatever works. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. de Blasio, none of those work for me. I don't live at your pleasure. I don't serve you, sir. You're supposed to serve the citizens of the city of New York. And if I were dare to enter that fetid cesspool of scum and tyranny, I don't need your approval to go to a restaurant, sir. Dear God in heaven, when are the people going to start standing up and say, enough of this? Abraham Lincoln said, the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the people who pervert the Constitution. This is a perversion of the Constitution. This is depriving you of liberty. This is depriving you of control of your body, your property, with absolutely no due process. And it seems New Yorkers are more than willing to sit back, fat and happy, and watch themselves be sold down the river. What's next? Is the New York City going to have the version of the Stasi? If you show up at a restaurant in New York City, are the secret police going to come and take you away? Is this what America has fallen to? Not simply that there's a mayor that would propose such a disgusting and despotic policy, but that the American people would allow it to happen. De Blasio is just a petty tyrant getting off on his power trip. So I'm not surprised. It's not that I condone it, but I'm not surprised. We're always going to have petty tyrants that love to exercise their power over others. But the people of New York City are letting this happen? Why are they not out in the streets going, hell no? Or, hey, hey, ho, ho, Bill de Blasio's got to go. Okay, he's got the police, but there are millions more citizens in the Big Apple than there are police. The police swore an oath to support the Constitution. You should be able to walk up to any police officer, show him the Fifth Amendment, point out the deprivation of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and simply say, see, you swore affirm to support this. That is not so. I've asked, you know, in the military, you're only required to follow lawful orders. This is not a lawful order. It's about damn time the American people start standing up and taking back control of this government that is falling apart. Now, we've talked about the executive, we've talked about the legislative, but if there's one branch of government that has been the worst at dismantling the republic, it has to be the judicial. Why? Well, let's take a look at some examples. First, we have a federal judge, the district judge, Dabney Friedrich, that said that she's not going to support a block of the CDC's latest eviction moratorium. Now, I find this one very interesting because of the reason supposed Judge Friedrich used. She says she's prevented from blocking these orders by previous orders from other courts, including the nation's highest court. Well, let me remind you, Judge Friedrich, you didn't take an oath to the Supreme Court. You didn't take an oath to support other courts. You took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States. Now, I know Justice Kavanaugh, in his mealy-mouthed opinion, his concurring opinion, said it was not something the CDC could do. It had to be done by Congress, which is complete baloney. You cannot be deprived. The Constitution says you cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. That's the Fifth Amendment. The 14th Amendment says a state cannot pass a law that deprives you of life, liberty, or property. This deprives landlords of their property. They own that the house or building that they are renting. They have a contract with the renter. That contract clearly stipulates that if the renter doesn't pay the rent, they can be removed. And the fact that courts are not allowing this to happen is an abdication of the very concept of justice. How dare Dabney Friedrich, you don't even deserve to be called a judge. You're not a judge. You're a lackey. You're a bootlicker. What happened to backbone? What happened to your oath to the Constitution? Even the Supreme Court said the CDC didn't have this authority. So what's your big deal? Your big deal is either you're a coward or you're just a government hack. I don't know which it is, Judge Friedrich. And personally, I don't care. This is the definition of bad behavior. You are ignoring the Constitution. You're ignoring the law. You're ignoring the opinion of the Supreme Court, which you say is supposedly told you can't do this. This is bad behavior. And since Article 3, Clause 1, Section 1 says that justices of the Supreme and Inferior Courts serve during good behavior, this bad behavior deserves an impeachment. Not because I disagree with her, because it is a direct violation of the oath of office, of any concept of responsible judicial action. This is beyond the pale. This is government being broken. You're telling me you're putting the opinion of the president above your oath to the Supreme, your oath to the Constitution, and above your own Supreme Court. How dare you? And how dare the American people stand for this? Tell me, I want to know judges, I want to know sheriffs. If you're a sheriff that looks at this nonsense and said this moratorium is unconstitutional, even the Supreme Court has said it's illegal, how many are you going to start evicting people who won't pay their rent? Now, I don't have numbers as to how big a deal. I don't know how many people are behind on their rent. I don't care. Because this is a dereliction of the rule of law. If we don't have laws, if the law doesn't matter, we don't live in a constitutional republic. We live in the equivalent of what? Mad Max? Is it now? Are we ruled simply by the opinion of whoever can wear a black robe? Is that what we've fallen to? Ladies and gentlemen, what are the American people doing about this? Sheriffs around the country, what are you doing to protect the citizens of your county from this broken government? And ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing to make sure that your sheriff in your county will protect your rights from a criminal government, whether that be state, local, or federal? What are you doing? Because right now, you can't trust the federal government to follow the law. You can't trust the federal government, and to be honest, you can't trust many state governments or many city governments to actually follow the law. The concept of an oath to support the Constitution is ludicrous, not because it isn't in there, but because the American people don't hold their elected officials accountable when they violate their sacred promise to support the Constitution of the United States. And even when they're doing things that may be good policy, we still have judges acting like legislators and executives. See, now, President Trump put in a policy called the Remain in Mexico policy. And the idea was, if you were coming to the United States to request asylum, you had to remain in Mexico until that asylum claim was processed. And if they found that it lacked merit, you'd be sent home. Well, when Biden came into office as the new executive, he simply replaced that policy. He simply said, "No, we're going to drop that policy because it's not law. It's just the policy of the president." So now we have a federal judge deciding that, you know what, President Biden didn't take into consideration several critical factors before reversing the Trump-era Remain in Mexico policy. Well, I want to ask you, Judge Kaczmarski, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing your name. It's not meant to be a slight. But I want to ask you, where is the law that said an executive order cannot be overturned by a subsequent administration? I'll wait. Look it up. Go flipping through your law books. Find it for me. Because whatever you find will be in contradiction to the Constitution of the United States. Therefore, it's null and void. So even though I think the Remain in Mexico policy is a good policy, it's not law. It was never passed by Congress. It was never signed by a president. It is not law. Therefore, there is no basis for an administration to be required to follow the policies of a previous administration, whether you like them or not. This Judge Kaczmarski is just as guilty of, I know it's not technically treason, but it's an insurrection. It's a usurpation of the lawful government of the United States. It's replacing the Constitution with his own opinion. We're worried about January 6th and the fact that a few hundred people entered the Capitol and committed trespass and, as I understand it, a little bit of petty vandalism. We have actual insurrection. We have actual judges now replacing the Constitution with their own opinion, and nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care, because we've been told, well, this is how government works. No, this is not. This is how they broken government works. If we lived in a constitutional republic, if we people actually applied the Constitution, this judge would be impeached. The Mexico City policy, the Remain in Mexico policy, would be halted. And if we wanted people to remain in Mexico, it'd be a law passed by Congress. But you see, we don't care about that anymore. Ends justify the means, which means whoever is in power gets to rule. It's kind of like that perverted version of the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Right now, he who sits in an office makes the rules. And it's not just at the federal level. A Texas county judge issued an order requiring masks be worn in school within the county. I'm sorry, Judge, Lena Hidalgo. You don't have the legal authority to order people to wear masks. You are a judge. You are to judge the facts of a case. You're to judge the law in a criminal case. You are not there to tell the people how to live their lives. I don't care if you disagree with the governor. That is not your job. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody in Harris County that follows Judge Hidalgo's order is in contempt of the Constitution. Oh, if we don't do it, we'll be held in contempt of court. I'd love to be held in contempt of Ms. Hidalgo's court. Her court is contempt of the Constitution, the rule of law, her oath of office, the very concept of a blind justice. She is the contemptible one, not those who don't follow her illegal, unconstitutional, and therefore void order. I want to know who's filing impeachment articles against Judge Hidalgo. Yeah, I'm talking impeachment a lot today because we need to start impeaching these people. That's what impeachment is there for, to get rid of judges that are behaving badly. Now, I don't know what the Constitution of Texas says about impeachment within that state. But I'm sorry, when you disregard the most basic tenet of the three branches of government, the most basic concept of separation of powers, that is bad behavior. And Judge Hidalgo needs to be held accountable, personally accountable. I wouldn't even mind seeing her charged with a violation of Title 18, United States Code, Section 242, depriving the citizens of Harris County of their liberty and the property they have in their body without due process of law. When are we going to start standing up and saying enough is enough? I've been going on a rant the last few days because this stuff is getting crazy, and it seems that nobody's doing anything about it. It seems like most Americans are just kind of looking at it going, oh, well, what can we do? We can learn that we have rights, that we have power, that we are the masters of government, not its servants, that they serve at our pleasure, not the other way around. That we can stand up, take back our country by applying the Constitution as written, not as manipulated by some judge or some politician to get to an end they want. Here's another one. A federal judge has blocked an Alaskan oil drilling project, deciding that the Interior Department inadequately measured its environmental impact. Based on what? Did the Interior Department violate a law? Apparently not. They went to the Bureau of Land Management requesting permission to do this. The BLM came up with four possible ways of proceeding forward, and the Secretary of Interior at the time, David Bernhardt, signed the decision authorizing one of the alternatives. But apparently, this judge doesn't like that. She thinks that the BLM assessment was not detailed enough. It was arbitrary and capricious. Notice it didn't even include things like, you know, greenhouse gas emissions or impact on polar bears. Well, I'm sorry, Judge, that's not your call. Your job is to apply the law, not to make it up from the bench. So here's another. Where's the impeachment of this judge? When judges put their own opinions above their oath to the law and the Constitution, that is bad behavior. And that should be cause enough for impeachment. Now, I'm not saying a single bad opinion should be enough to remove a judge from office. But I doubt a judge that this badly ignores the Constitution hasn't made similar opinions in the past. But you see, that's where we come to. That's what happens when the American people allow their government to run amok, allow it to break down and have the wheels come off, and then expect things to just go merrily along. Then there's another one from Texas. Laredo, Texas, reached an agreement on Wednesday to settle its lawsuit against Homeland Security for transporting illegal immigrants from the Rio Valley into the border city. Okay, does the city have the right to petition the government for redress of grievance? Yes, it does. But I'm sorry, it's about time we stop sitting around going, well, excuse me, Mr. President, excuse me, federal government, do we have permission to actually apply the Constitution of the United States? How about the sheriff of whatever county Laredo, Texas is in, simply arrest those from ICE who are bringing in immigrants in violation of what, state law? What's the violation? How about you just arrest them? Yeah, you know what? A sheriff can arrest a federal agent if they break a law in their county. Now, since they've already broken federal law, how about, do you know transporting illegals is considered human trafficking? It's a federal crime. Yeah, so how about you just charge them with human trafficking and arrest them? Oh, sure, it'll get tied up in court forever. I don't care. I would much rather see a sheriff standing up for his or her citizens, protecting them, than simply going, oh, excuse me, federal government, pretty please, will you let us be free citizens in this country? I'm tired of it. I've had enough. You may have noticed that. There's more. The Biden EPA suddenly decided to ban a pesticide because they believe they've shown links to negative health effects. Well, guess what? The Constitution doesn't give the federal government the authority to ban pesticides. Doesn't even give the authority for a federal EPA. But you see, this is what happens when we ignore the Constitution. We ignore our responsibility as citizens to oversee those who are exercising our power in our name. I was asked if an independent government is important. I said, we don't want an independent government. I want a government bound down by the Constitution. And I want the people to do the binding down. Because when government is independent, there are no restraints put on it. And that is what's going on today. And that is where our rights are disappearing. They're being sucked up like a vacuum cleaner. Because all the rules and laws put in place to protect them mean nothing if the American people won't stand up and protect them themselves. We keep looking for some savior, someone to come in and protect us. Well, we were warned about that. George Washington warned about that in his farewell address. He said the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries have perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. Sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. I'm not saying this is a new development. I'm not saying this is Biden's fault. I'm not saying this is any individual's fault. I'm saying it's all our faults. Because we have not done the work of us, of citizens. Our government is not only out of control, it is broken, and it will no longer protect your rights. They have abdicated their most basic responsibility. The second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these rights to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." But it goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What we have is a government that is no longer protecting our rights, no longer exercising just powers because they are not from our consent. And we, the American people, are letting it happen. Now, if you want to learn more, if you want to know how to, you know, what the Constitution says, how you can become an expert, how you can become a student, a scholar of the Constitution, well, do me a favor, head over to constitutionscholars.com. You can register for free. There's not a cost to it. You'll gain access to a library and some classrooms, but most importantly, you'll find a community of other individuals that are interested in learning about the Constitution, being students, scholars of the Constitution, where you can share information, where we can discuss and debate, and we can work to save our rights, our liberties, our very freedom from this encroachment by ever expanding governments at all levels. Yes, I know it's scary, but I also know that we don't need everybody to stand up. We don't need everybody to kick at the windmills. What we need are a few people willing to stand out in front, and then a significant percentage of the rest of America willing to stand beside them, behind them, support them, be there when they stand, help them when they're in trouble. Run to the sound of the battle. To not be sheep, but to become sheepdogs. And if not full sheepdogs, at least sheepdog assistants. We need a new resurgence of self-responsibility and self-protection if we are to remain a free people. Now be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. It is important we all do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and the videos so that we can help secure America's future.
Hey, Bill, stay out of jail.